Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 39 to finish at 25,502. S&P 500 up 10 at 2,850. NASDAQ Composite up 47 at 7,859. Russell 2000 up 10 at 1684. Yield on the 10-year Treasury down 2 basis points at 2.94%. Oil up 41 cents at $68.90 per barrel, and gold down $6.10 at $12.08.20 per ounce. The three major stock indices closed higher today, but not at the highs for the day. Investors focused on a strong earnings season, with results from Berkshire Hathaway impressing. Facebook also lifting the NASDAQ after a report it was planning new services. The S&P 500 edged closer to a record hit back on January 26th, closing within a percentage point of the all-time high for the first time since the current correction began. Of the 413 S&P 500 companies that have reported second quarter results so far, just over 79% have topped estimates, that according to the latest data from Thomson Reuters. That compares with the 72% average for the past four quarters. Berkshire Hathaway today rose 2.3%. This is Warren Buffett's company. The conglomerate reported a 67% surge in quarterly operating profit to $6.9 billion. The filings show that Berkshire's 5% stake in Apple is now worth nearly $50 billion. That's by far the most valuable stake it has in any one company. Berkshire now sitting on almost $130 billion in cash. Investors and executives should take note that ultimate contrarians Buffett and his partner Charlie Munger are sitting on the sidelines when it comes to acquisitions. Buffett warned in his annual shareholder letter back in February of this very thing. Not enough good companies were available to buy at reasonable prices. Yet research from Moody's Analytics shows the value of global mergers and acquisitions shooting to $2.6 trillion in the first half of this year. That's just below a record set in 2007. Berkshire Hathaway's cash pile grew in 1998 and 99. That was just ahead of the bursting of the dot-com bubble. Then again, Berkshire grew its cash pile in 2005 to 2007 as markets became, oh, shall we say, a bit frothy. But then Berkshire used the period from 2000 to 2003 and again from 2007 to 2009 to buy assets at lower valuations as the markets were melting down. Facebook today gained 4.4%. The Wall Street Journal reported it had asked large U.S. banks to share detailed financial information about customers as part of an effort to offer new services. Facebook wants users' financial information, credit card transactions, checking account balances. The data would be used for messenger features, including account balance updates and fraud alerts, but not for Facebook's other platforms. Oh, sure. What could go wrong? SeaWorld Entertainment shares up 18%, hitting a four-year high. The theme park operator posted better-than-expected earnings for the second quarter, said attendance is rising again. Shares of Rite Aid down 10%, biggest one-day sell-off in nearly a year. The drugstore chain warned investors, don't be surprised if it reports a fiscal 2019 adjusted loss as a result of greater than expected generic drug bid activity. Zillow Group shares dropped 19%. This was in extended trading after the company reported earnings. Zillow posted earnings of 13 cents a share on $325 million in revenue. Analysts had expected earnings of 10 cents on $326 million in revenue. The problem? Well, they lowered third quarter guidance. Another problem? Zillow announced plans to acquire a national mortgage lender to assist with home purchases. The company recently launched a new strategy of buying and selling homes directly to users, expanding its offerings beyond real estate brokers. The acquisition is intended to supplement that effort. Etsy stock up 8% post-market. The e-commerce arts and crafts website reported better than expected revenue, even as earnings were just shy of estimates. Mattress Firm, the largest U.S. mattress retailer, considering a potential bankruptcy filing, seeks ways to get out of costly store leases, shut some of its 3,000 locations that are losing money. It's not firm yet, but potential. Mattress Firm's South African parent, Steinhoff International Holdings, has been working on a deal to restructure the debt of some subsidiaries with its creditors following an accounting scandal. Creditors agreed last month to hold off on their debt claims for 3 years. Steinhoff acquired Mattress Firm for $3.8 billion back in 2016. The United States will reimpose tariffs against Iran at midnight tonight, restoring economic penalties that were lifted under the 2015 nuclear accord and ratcheting up pressure on Tehran while worsening divides with European allies and other world powers. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani dismissed a late U.S. call for talks. The sanctions are a consequence of Trump's decision in May to withdraw from an international deal that sought to limit Iran's nuclear program in exchange for easing pressure on the country's shaky economy. Trump blasted the deal before becoming president. His administration hopes that backing out of it will force Iran to shut down its nuclear enrichment efforts, curb its weapons program, and end its support of brutal governments or uprisings in the Middle East. Britain, France, Germany, Russia, China all signed off along with the U.S. on the 2015 accord. European officials have said that the Iran nuclear agreement is crucial to their national security, and international inspectors have concluded that Tehran is complying with the accord. The new sanctions bar any transactions with Iran involving dollar banknotes, gold, precious metals, aluminum, steel, commercial passenger aircraft, and coal, and they end imports into the United States of Iranian carpets and foodstuffs. The European Union updated a blocking statute that seeks to protect European companies from any penalties imposed by the United States for doing business with or in Iran. The measure threatens companies with penalties if they comply with American sanctions, puts them in a bit of a bind. While top American officials said they would continue talking to foreign counterparts to cooperate on sanctions, they vowed to undertake vigorous enforcement of the restored penalties against Iran, regardless of European concerns. They also said more than 100 major businesses had already announced an intent to leave Iran ahead of the sanctions. The decision to withdraw from the 2015 accord paved the way for the reimposition of sanctions in two stages. The first round comes into force at midnight. The second takes effect on November 4th. The transition period was intended to provide companies already doing business with Iran time to wind down their activities. The two major stock indexes in China have lost one quarter of their value from highs this year. Meanwhile, the S&P 500 close to a record high again. Soon after the S&P 500 hit an all-time high on January 26th, stocks plunged on fears the Fed might raise interest rates more quickly than expected. Then at the end of February, Trump announced plans to impose tariffs on steel and aluminum. That was the first clear shot in the trade war. So far in the trade war between the two largest economic powers in the world, the U.S. has slapped tariffs on $34 billion of Chinese products, which China met with retaliatory duties. A big test for investors comes next month when the Trump administration might impose $200 billion of extra tariffs on China. China has already announced retaliation. Under the plan, China would impose tariffs between 5% and 25% on nearly all of the $130 billion in goods imported from the U.S. China's Ministry of Finance said Friday the new tariffs would target more than 5,200 types of U.S. goods. That might be enough to get investors' attention, or we might wait until the yuan devalues further, or the Chinese equity markets crash further. That's when things could really get dangerous. Trump portrays the tariffs as a tax on foreigners, but the reality is that tariffs are taxes on U.S. companies and consumers. When a big U.S. retail chain or an equipment manufacturer has to pay 10 or 25% more to get steel from Canada or a certain part from China, the U.S. company has to pay the tax when it imports that item. U.S. businesses either eat that extra cost or they pass it along to consumers. Rick Gates, the star witness in Robert Mueller's fraud and conspiracy trial against former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort, Gates took the stand today to testify that he committed crimes with his former business partner. In a blow to the case being laid out by Manafort's defense team, Gates then told prosecutors that he had been directed by Manafort to report overseas income as loans as a way to lower his taxable income. Since their opening statement last week, Manafort's lawyers have sought to blame Gates for breaking finance laws, framing him as a liar who abused Manafort's trust and embezzled millions of dollars from him. Gates did admit in court that he stole hundreds of thousands of dollars from Manafort by filing false expense reports. Gates also testified, however, that Manafort had worked with him to commit financial crimes, including filing false tax returns, not disclosing foreign bank accounts, and omitting information from a court deposition. Dow Jones Industrial Average today up 39 to finish at 25,502. S&P 500 up 10 at 2850. NASDAQ Composite up 47 at 7,859. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and our daily blog, eatthebankers.com.